Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Where's Woody Page? Oh, Woody, your Nuggets. Did the T-Wolves break the Nuggets? Everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Throwing heating pads is an ejection in the nursing home. How is it not in the NBA? And the Jordan shrug from Anthony Edwards. We're going to talk about it all. And this call. Are you making this call at the end of a game? Pacers Knicks got heated. Let's go around the horn.
No. Terrible call.
Yeah, I don't think you actually get ejected from the nursing home today.
Yeah, you probably get a father in the nursing home, Tony.
People want to talk about officiating. Talk about officiating if you want. Look at the way the T-Wolves are playing defense. Look at the way the T-Wolves are shutting down the Nuggets. Look at the way the Nuggets are gesticulating and looking at each other and Mike Malone screaming. And then it was Jamal Murray who threw the heating pad. You do that at Green Grove, you get ejected. NBA did not. Minnesota held Denver to 35 in the first half, a season low 80 for the game. Woody Page, I don't need to go any further. Around the horn to you. Did the T-Wolves break the Nuggets? Can Denver come back from this?
Remember that Indiana Jones movie, Temple of Doom, where the villain would reach in and grab a person's heart and pull it out? That's exactly what the Timberwolves did to the Nuggets last night. So not only were the Timberwolves so good defensively and offensively, even without Rudy Gobert, who's home enjoying the birth of his first son, I think that the Nuggets, NBA champions, were all chumps last night. That was the worst performance that I've seen in covering the Nuggets since 1974. And I tell you what, when you put together the best 1-2 offensive punch in Jokic and Murray, and they combined for only 24 points and shooting 25.8%, and when Jokic, who's going to be named the MVP of the league this year, again this week, he was on the court a minus 28 in the first two games. They are just struggling so badly that this series is, in the words of Bill Plasky,
all right, there it is. We got to the big finish there. Let me ask you a follow-up, Woody, because we hadn't seen this. We hadn't seen all last year. They didn't trail in a series, and now they're 0-2, and on the court, the body language, Woody, what are we physically seeing with this team?
I think everybody would agree that even though people didn't believe they were the best NBA champions of all time, that they were classy, that they were a team that was together. Last night, they just lost it on every level, with the officials, with the opponents, with themselves, and we'll talk about it more, I'm sure, but, I mean, Jamal Murray just totally lost it on the court three different times and just threw his hands up in the air. I've never seen a team like this just disintegrate in front of our eyes in a game like that.
All right, Bill Plaschke, Woody stole your line. He said it's over, but I want to ask you, how did this happen?
This has been happening. The Nuggets really didn't play that well in the first round against the Lakers, and they got injured. Jamal Murray's hurt. His calf is hurting him. He was 3-for-14 yesterday. He's done. He can barely walk. KCP's hurting. Jokic, they were minus 25 when Jokic was on the floor. He's wiped out. He's tired. It all came together. Defending the championship is difficult. It all came together on down on their heads. It weighed heavily on them. Only twice before in history has an NBA champion gone down 0-2 in the first round at home, and both times the series didn't go five games. This series won't go five games.
Israel, we haven't seen them trail in any series until this one, and now we see an implosion like last night. How did this happen?
I'm not ready to say the series is over. I am willing to say the Nuggets are in shambles, and it has to do with this
Timberwolves defense, okay? When you lock up and absolutely put Jamal Murray in handcuffs, that offense cannot do what it normally does. That offense is about the movement. It's about using Nikola Jokic, getting him in the post, getting everybody else to sort of move around him. And you're not even getting to that point right now. And what happens is the Nuggets' reaction is an overreaction. It's a childish reaction. It wasn't just Jamal Murray throwing the heating pad. It was KCP was just frantic after every foul call. It was Aaron Gordon getting a technical foul while the Denver Nuggets dancers were still on the floor. It was Michael Malone. You know, he likes to be called Michael Malone, right? He looked like Mike Malone last night because he was so immature with a lot of his reactions and his face-to-face activity with the referees. They need to bring it together, calm down, see if they can get a few calls. Yes, they need a few calls, but if they just bring it together, calm down a little bit, they can still play more like the Denver Nuggets of last year.
So you don't believe it's over, though. Okay, there we go. Harry Lyles, is this series over? Have you seen a broken team before your eyes?
Tony, I want to have hope the way that Izzy does, but, man, they just got wiped in two games at home. Like, if this would have happened in Minnesota, I might feel differently. But we are talking about a team that was built up by Tim Connelly, Chris Finch, and Mike Anori in Denver, and they have built the thing now in Minnesota that is going to take them down. This is the first time that this team has really faced any sort of adversity in the last two postseasons, and they're not responding to it well at all. They are forcing Nikola Jokic into turnovers that are uncharacteristic of him. He has 11 in two games. Izzy, you mentioned Jamal Murray. They are not even letting him into the club. They are picking him up, according to Second Spectrum, at 62 feet. He has never been picked up that deep into the backcourt in his entire career, and they're doing that because he's got that bad calf. And then this team's bench is not as deep as they are, and that is a huge problem when your starting lineup is minus 42 in this
season. So you'd say it's more about what Minnesota's doing than what the Nuggets are failing to do, it sounds like. Bill, I'll let you back in there on that.
Yeah, I agree. 3.9 feet of separation is the average separation on the guard when they're guarding the Nuggets. It's unbelievable. Remember, Minnesota has the best defense in the NBA. They've had it all year. So this is not going to go away. Defense travels. Defense is going to stay the same the whole series. That's why.
Well, the refereeing stayed the same the whole series, because that's now part of this conversation, part of both series we saw last night, Israel.
No, it's definitely part of the conversation, especially, as I mentioned before, because of the way the Nuggets operate offensively. They have to get some of these foul calls on Naz Reid, on any of these players. Nikola Jokic looked like he deserved more than 6 free throws last night. I don't know if it's going to get any better for them on the road, but if those whistles are a little friendlier, they might actually have a
throwing
chance.
Throwing a foreign object into a ring in the WWE gets you ejected. Throwing it onto the court here. Does the NBA have to make a ruling on heating pads, Plashke?
Yes, I think he should be ejected from the game. They didn't see him throw it. He should be suspended for a game. I know it's tough to do in the playoffs, but if a fan had done that, the fan would have gotten thrown out of the arena. That's dangerous, dangerous habit to do. Dangerous thing. He should be out of there.
Do you remember last year when Dwayne Dedmon, the Heat backup center, was ejected and then suspended for throwing a Theragun onto the floor? Actually, the Miami Heat suspended him there before the NBA could do anything. I believe the NBA will suspend him here. I don't think the Nuggets are going to be better off for it, but he might be a little better off for it.
I don't remember Dedmon. I do remember Hacksaw Jim Duggan throwing a 2x4 into the ring. I remember, I mean, that's what it was. What a meltdown. What do you want to finish off on? It looks like you're painting something here. Paint another picture for us.
Yes, Gobert was fined $100,000 early in the year for a money sign to the official. Well, Jamal Murray did that, so $100,000 got to be the minimum. He threw a towel, then he threw the heat pack. I don't think there's a suspension coming, but I think the fine is going to be one of the largest we've seen in $150,000, $200,000.
Game 3, Friday, Minnesota. The NBA is reviewing the heating pack toss. You could expect a ruling on that maybe as the week progresses. Juxtapose the refereeing in that game versus the refereeing in Knicks Pacers. And the last 2 minutes here, there are about 10 calls in the final 2 minutes that were suspect or 50-50 or challenged. And the whistle for the screen, that had to be the biggest in the game, right? Are you calling offensive moving screen there?
Oh, yeah.
Knicks 121, Pacers 117. As a result of that and the way the last 2 minutes played out, Israel, what did you learn in the first game of the series?
What did I learn? I mean, I learned Obi Toppin can do a between-the-leg dunk at any point in the game, even in the playoffs. I mean, I learned Andrew Nembhard could probably make a terrible foul at a huge spot. But in terms of the series, What I learned is the first team that's going to actually defend is going to win this thing. These are two teams that shot better than 52%. And I love the Knicks players. I love Jalen Brunson, and he's an amazingly skilled player. But, you know, the previous round, he was not as efficient. And so you can get him to score 40 points and in less efficient manner than he did, which I think was 15 for 24 yesterday. So the first team that really buckles down, I don't think game one is normally a great indication of what the rest of the series will look like. And in with these two teams, there has to be better defense played, particularly.
All right, so you're not even the reffing at the end of the game, that's just a write-off because it affected both teams in bizarre ways?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Harry Lyles, how about you?
Yeah, I feel similarly about the officiating, but at least my takeaway from the game is I think it looks like both teams' strengths are going to be something that sticks out, and it's going to give us a 6 or a 7-game series. If you're the Pacers, the pace worked for them, especially in a game where Tyrese Halliburton, those back spasms were clearly still bothering him. He only took 6 shots. One of them was inside the three-point line. But they still outscored the Knicks bench 46-3, which nobody expects the Knicks bench to score, but also 43 points is an incredible disparity. And then, of course, you've got the one guy who has been the person that is going to put his team on his back in the postseason, Jalen Brunson, in clutch time. The last 5 minutes of a game, fourth quarter overtime, in a 5-point margin. The top three scoring teams, the 76ers with 53, the third place team is the Pacers with 29, and not the New York Knicks, but Jalen Brunson himself is number two with 43.
Okay, all right. A lot of work for that stat, but I see where you're going there, that Brunson is as prolific as teams, entire teams, late in games. Woody Page, how about you?
Let me slim this down. I learned that the Indiana Pacers can win this series. The Knicks are not going to dominate them when they're having to play their starters more than 40 minutes a game, and the bench on the other side is outscoring you 46-3, and Halliburton is somewhat bothered by back problems, and you're going to go back to Indiana and probably have in the third game and probably lose those two there. I think this is a 7-game series, and it's going to be as tight as we
possibly. Wait, so you feel better about Indiana after last night, even the way the game played out at the end and the Knicks were able to hold home court?
That takes
it could have gone either way at the very end. That call didn't have to be made.
Bill Plaschke, how about you?
I agree with Woody. I think Indiana's very much in it. Indiana can win this in a really tough environment. The game was tied with 41 seconds left. Two terrible calls by the officials cost Indiana. The bench scoring is not sustainable. The Knicks need more from their bench. Their starters play 214 or 240 possible minutes. That's too many minutes. That's not going to last the series. Indiana can win
this. Here we go. All right. Everybody loves Indiana after last night. Israel, give you the last word at the horn.
Let me tell you about the inconsistent officiating, how it's going to be frustrating throughout the league. Jalen Brunson, 14 for 14, 14 free throws last night. Nikola Jokic deserved more than that. That was a more aggressive defense in Minnesota than Jalen Brunson was facing. Mm-hmm. Let's get this refereeing together, shall we?
Was the moving screen a call that would be made in the previous 47 minutes of the game? That's what I'm asking you. I'm not hearing anybody address it, which I'm now going to mute you guys.
It was a terrible call.
It was a terrible call. I hear it. But that call's not being made for the previous 47 minutes, for the game to end like that. Oh, oh. But it's a series. We'll see how the adjustments happen in game two. Buy or sell's next on the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
You people always talking about rest versus rust. Did it play out on ice last night? Florida was off for a while because they made such quick work in the first round. Boston needed 7 games and over the weekend had to jump in a plane, go South Florida. A 5-goal breakout for Boston and Swayman's save, man. Bruins roll the Panthers 5-1. Bill, one game or something more?
Something more, and it's called Jeremy Swayman. He's doing gymnastics back there, Tony. He's the best goalie left in the Stanley Cup tournament.
I like
what see what I did there?
Yeah,
see what I did? Yeah. See what I didn't do?
Yeah, very good.
He's 95% goal save percentage, 1.43 goals against. As long as he's in the net, the Bruins are going to win.
No Swayman in your answer, Bill. You're all about Boston. Woody, how about you?
This shirt is rust. And the Boston Bruins didn't have any of it. And when you want to talk about Swayman stopping 38 shots last night, he has had a performance that's not seen since the amazing Slidell, Tony.
I'll take your word for that, Woody. Harry Lyles Jr., how about you?
Oh.
Yeah, this is something more. If it wasn't, then they wouldn't have already beaten them 4 times prior to this. I realize those are regular season victories, but you don't accidentally beat a team 5 times in a row. And the Panthers are 0-14 on a power play against the Bruins. And also, I thought it was really good in-game coaching by Boston when they called the timeout early in the third period when it seemed like Florida started to get things going. You don't really see guys call timeouts that early, and it changed the complete course of that game. And I thought, save
it. Is real one game or something more?
It could be something more. I mean, yes, Swayman was great. Yes, the Panthers haven't beat the Bruins all year or scored on the power play. But last night in particular, this gentleman right here, Aaron Ekblad, was particularly horrible. You could say three were directly his fault with turnovers or shielding his own goalie. Fortunately, Sam Bennett was back on the practice ice. He got injured in the last round. He might be available for game 2, which would put Paul Maurice's lines back in their normal place. Please get Aaron Ekblad away from these very important plays.
But we have Carrot Top, prop comic over here in Plasma 4. Who's the amazing Slovel, Woody? Who is that?
He was an acrobat that did tricks standing on his
head. Oh, that's what
he said. He said it.
Bill.
He said it.
Alertly avoided it, but you walked right in. Well, thank you for explaining it, though. I can't give you points for explaining. We'll move on. Mavericks Thunder game 1 tonight. Season head-to-head. 3-1 OKC. Israel, who has advantage going into the series?
Yeah, I think it's Dallas, frankly. I think if you look at the length between Lively and Gafford and Derrick Jones Jr., they can give SGA a lot of problems in his mid-range. And when you talk about Luka and Kyrie, I mean, either of them could explode for 40 in any given game. The way Kyrie is defending in these playoffs is particularly impressive. I think the Mavericks are going to win.
Harry Lyles, who has the advantage going in?
I'm going to go Oklahoma City. They cruise by the Pelicans, which obviously that's a different opponent. But this is a team, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, like these young players, their game speaks for themselves and they speak for each other after the post-game interview with whoever the sideline reporter happens to be. But I have two big issues with the Mavericks. One, I'm a little bit concerned about Luka's knee, not because his offensive production, that's going to be there. Defensively, though, the Clippers were blowing by him all last series. And then now that Maxi Kleber is out, somebody that gives you versatility in your lineup, but is also one of your better defenders, I am also concerned about his absence as well. So I'm going Oklahoma City.
Woody Page.
Experience versus youth. I'm going to go with the youth in this case, even though they haven't really experienced the playoffs in the past. I haven't seen Luka and Kyle Irving actually have a great game together during the playoffs.
Right, they haven't.
And I don't think we're having that happen again in this series. And I just think that youth is going to prevail.
Right. Bill Plaschke.
Oklahoma City is the youngest team in history to win a playoff series. This doesn't happen. You don't just be that young and win that quick. It takes time. You have to learn how to win. Luke has been there before. Kyrie has been there before. They're both playing well, and they have the height advantage. They held the Clippers to under 50% on layups and dunks, so they're very much the rim protectors.
So you like their size and their length, I guess, more specifically.
And defending
their age. SGA and defending Israel. I see what you're doing there.
Get it together.
Get it together. Okay. Woody, comeback there. Very acrobatic comeback from Woody Page. Flasky, Page. Showdown.
Old school.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Listen to the sound of bat on ball from Shohei Ohtani.
2-2.
Four home runs in 3 days, 11 now on the season to go with his 370 average. Bill, what is the ceiling for Ohtani this year?
He got off to a slow start because of the gambling scandal, but that's all cleared up now. He's not pitching. That's all cleared up now. He's batting between Mookie and Freddie Freeman. He's going to hit, now that he's on a roll, he'll hit 70 home runs this year. Mark it down.
70? He's 70 on pace for 48, runs. Bill.
I'm calling it right now.
All right, but you know what that
pace,
means.
I don't care about pace.
You know what that means. Over. Okay. Woody Page.
I'll take that.
Bill, let's be a little bit more realistic, but incredible achievements. He's going to be the MVP in both the American League in the past, in the National League this season, and he's going to be a Triple Crown winner.
Oh, you're going
like
big,
Mickey
too.
Mickey Mantle in 1956. Yes, I mean, I think in both leagues in the same city, what an incredible
The only time. Other player in history to be MVP in the AL and the NL. Anyone know who it is?
Frank Robinson.
You both know who it is. All right, well done. We'll split the move
I knew on. It first.
Unanimous Rookie of the Year, Victor Wembanyama. What does unanimity mean, Woody Page?
Well, there have been six players that have accomplished that, five of them centers, and he may be the best of all of them before his career's over. He was close to being the Defensive Player of the Year, and I think he'll be the MVP in the next year or two. And so he is better than branded, better than advertised.
You're just giving out MVPs. And how about you, Bill Plaschke?
This is the best Rookie of the Year in years. He had the best, statistically the best year for a center since Shaquille O'Neal won the MVP in 2000. And I should know because I was there. And it was incredible then.
How did you work LA into your answer about San Antonio? Okay, you know what? We'll move on. Showdown.
It's the Lakers.
Three. Hart Trophy finalists. There will not be unanimity here because it's tight. McDavid, MacKinnon, Kucherov. Consider this. Matthews, 69 goals, didn't even qualify for finalists. Bill, who you got?
I'm guessing Woody's going to make a homer pick, so don't fall for it, Tony. Kucherov led the league in scoring. Scored more points than when he won the MVP last time he won it. Kucherov's the MVP.
Woody?
It's time for a change, Bill. And it's going to be a Mac, but McDavid has already won it. And as you said, Kucherov's won it. How about Nate the Great? He won the championship two years ago.
He was within
4 points of having the leadership this year. It's time for
Nate the Great
to get it.
A homer pick, but you're right.
But it's right.
You're right. Take the FaceTime, Woodrow.
Don't prepare for that.
Somewhat of a history issue here. In 1986 at the World Cup, Argentina and England had an incredible game. And Diego Maradona had the hand of God goal and the goal of the century. He ended up winning the Golden Cup for the World Cup. Guess what happened? It was stolen, and it's been lost for years and years and years. Well, they finally found it. It's going to be auctioned off next month in France, and it's going to bring millions of dollars, and I hope that someone buys it and gives it to the late Maradona's family.
The Golden Ball. Yes, yes. Ah, Maradona. Real quick, I want to say something about the life experience we all saw play out last night. Rudy Gobert and Brandon Carlo, both men were met with a collision of big life when their partner was giving birth and their team was playing a playoff game. And while this may be an incredible thing for all of us to observe from the side, and some may view it from the world of sports, I'm here to respectfully say don't. It's a decision every person must make on their own, for their own life, for their own partner, and their own child. Both teams won. But congratulations to Gobert and Carlo and their families. We'll see you tomorrow.